In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple. The angels will catch you. If you are the Son of God, shouldn't you be in control of all the kingdoms of the world? In other words, if you are the Son of God, why are you out here in the wilderness, starving and miserable, left on your own without divine protection, with no power, no followers, no influence? This doesn't seem very Son of God-like at all. Satan's temptations of Jesus all hinge on his identity, on his personhood, on who Jesus is, and his self-understanding. Satan's sharpest arrows are in creating self-doubt, and a specific kind of self-doubt, a self-doubt that challenges our most primary identity. Jesus had begun his public ministry at age 30, having worked first a decade and a half as a carpenter, which is a lesson in itself about the sacredness of work we might wrongly consider ordinary. But after working those many years, the fullness of time arrives, and Jesus begins his public ministry, revealing himself as the Christ, the Savior of the world. And as we celebrated this past week, Jesus comes among the multitude of the sick and the self-inflicted, and the pained, and the lovable, and the hurting, all these people, and he stands right in the middle of them, counted with them as they wait for baptism. And Jesus is baptized with them, and coming out from the waters, the Holy Spirit rests upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and a voice comes from heaven. The voice of God saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And everyone around heard the voice, including Jesus. "You are my dearly beloved Son. I am so very pleased with you." At his baptism, this identity as Son of God is declared publicly for the first time. Then Jesus goes immediately into the wilderness for 40 days all by himself, praying and fasting and living among nature in its roughest form and befriending wild beasts, as Mark tells us. And after a most difficult and testing time, Jesus is of course tired and hungry and physically weak and probably lonely for a little human companionship. And there, in the middle of a most trying situation, this sneaky little voice comes up and gets into his inner ear and challenges that message that we all heard when he was baptized: "You are my beloved Son." And so the devil says, "Really? Really? Beloved Son of the Almighty? You don't look like the beloved Son of the God of heaven. You want to know what I see?" the devil says. "I see a pathetic, forgotten man out here starving and suffering needlessly. Son of God, indeed. If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you summon the protecting power of the angels?" These temptations to Jesus were really not about being hungry or being powerless or being alone in themselves. These temptations run way deeper. The temptations that the devil gives challenge the core identity of who Jesus is. The hunger and the powerlessness, they're just symptoms. They're symptoms. The core issue is, are you really the Son of God? Are you really who everybody heard the voice say you are? Satan's sharpest arrows are creating self-doubt in who we are as a child of God. Now, the reason the Holy Spirit inspired the gospel writers to include these temptations was not for the Lord's sake, but for ours. Jesus overcomes these tests, of course. And we're given this insight so that we can take courage in who we are. And especially in our time of test, when we hunger for something deeper than we feel that we have, or when we feel powerless. You know, when you are baptized, you die and rise with Jesus Christ, and you are adopted as a child of God, as a son or daughter of the Most High. You are God's beloved. God is so very deeply pleased with you. And then you go forward into life. And being human is hard. It's hard. And you suffer at the hands and the words of others, some of whom were supposed to love you. And then you react by doing things you regret, both small and big, or things you're not even aware enough to regret. Or you get sick, or your child gets sick, or you lose your job, or you lose your temper. And the last thing you feel like is a holy child of God in whom God is so pleased. And that's when Satan's sharpest arrows fly. We heard in Ephesians that Steve read for us today. Our battle isn't against each other, and it's certainly not against ourselves, against our nature. Your battle is against these horrible voices, these spiritual darknesses that try to separate you from the love of God, which they can't. So then their second best thing is to try to separate you from an awareness of the love of God. These voices that say, they say, just like they said to Jesus, that say to you, if you really are a daughter of God, if you really are a son of God, why does your life hurt so much? If you really are a son or daughter of God, why do you make such poor decisions? And where is this heavenly Father of yours in your time of need? It says, stop waiting on the divine power and grasp what you can for yourself. Son of God indeed, daughter of God indeed. Satan's sharpest arrows are in creating self-doubt. And again, I don't mean self-doubt like I won't do a good job on next week's presentation or I'll never be a good singer. I mean, maybe you will, maybe you won't. I mean self-doubt in who you are as a person, as a child of God in whom God is super pleased and super delighted. To doubt that you are a loved and holy child of God is to doubt your core essence. It's to deny your true nature. Jesus, of course, didn't fall for that lie, but instead overcomes these tests by the knowledge of who he is as the Son of the Most High and as the Beloved. Bishop Job of blessed memory visited church camp many times, but I'm thinking of a specific time a number of years ago, and he used to do open questions with the kids. They could ask him anything they wanted without Bishop Job knowing ahead of time what they were going to say. A very daring thing. Sometimes it was just a single cabin, sometimes like the whole high school, you know, 100 kids. And one kid raised his hand one year and stands up and asks, Your Grace, what's the worst sin you ever committed? And his counselor's like, reprimand the camper. Okay, that's a little too personal. Stop, no, Your Grace, you don't have to answer that. Bishop Job said, no, I am happy to answer that question. And he said to this room full of campers, not so very long ago, I was going through a rather difficult time, and I really believed for a while that God did not love me, that God had forgotten me, that I was somehow either not or no longer God's child. And then Bishop Job said, and I didn't heal until I realized that was a lie, that that was a lie. Satan's sharpest arrows are in creating a very particular self-doubt that you are not God's most loved child. But as Jesus overcame that test in the wilderness and all the way up till our century, Bishop Job overcame that temptation in whatever he was going through, may you also have the courage and receive the grace to to remember your essence as child of God. Amen.